Good morning. Hey, it's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Good to see everyone here. We see people coming back from vacations and trips away and doing this, that and the other. But it's great to be back in the Lord's house. And each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here. Warm welcome to everyone, a special welcome to anyone visiting our church today. It's good to have you with us. And like I said, we'll all be blessed by being here. Enough from me, over to Dan. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Good morning. Just turn your attention to the announcements on the back of the bulletin. Thursday, on October the 4th at 10 a.m., the new Bible study sessions are going to be taking place, and it'll be in the church kitchen, and they're going to be studying the book of Acts. And if you are interested in joining into that, talk to Sandy Reed about it, and everybody is welcome. The church calendar meeting is on Tuesday. And that's coming up Tuesday, and it's at 7 o'clock. Plan to attend for that. Ladies Christian Fellowship meeting on Thursday, next Thursday, the 13th at 2. Kathy, where'd she go? Oh, Kathy, do you want to say anything about Ladies Fellowship?
Yes. Ladies Christian Fellowship meets this coming Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. here in the kitchen. We would love to see all the ladies that can come, and we'll get going for the season, and if you've got any ideas or things that you think that we could be looking after in the church or promoting, even if you're not coming to the meeting, please give us a little heads up on that. Thank you.
And on Sunday the 23rd, potluck luncheon. Mark that on your calendars. And that's after the worship service. And on Tuesday the 25th at 7:30, the board meeting will occur. And if you hold office, I don't have an office. An office, sorry. Oh, I didn't read that right. If you hold office within the church, please plan to attend. But take note that everybody's welcome to be there. Food bank Thanksgiving donations of non-perishable food items can be placed in the container. There's a container out in the front in the foyer. Are there any other announcements?
Hi there, everybody. Most of you know I'm the church secretary, took a hiatus this summer, hardly attended church, it was quite a summer. But before the summer, I kind of gave you a little bit of update on my nephew Ryan. And this is a good update. So Ryan, bless his heart, I mean, he is really quite an individual, this young teen. He's 14 years old now, and he feels the need to give back after everything he's gone through the last few years. So on his own, he went to CNIB camp this summer. He is blind in one eye, for all of you who don't know. He's been on our prayer chain for about 3 years now when he started experiencing just a little bit of a blurred spot in one eye. Anyway, a lot went on, many surgeries. He ended up losing an eye. And he went to a CNIB camp this summer and started to get involved with a youth program that's Alberta Sport and Recreation for the Blind. They are sponsoring or kind of hosting a run or a walk called Sight Night. It is on November the 17th. He is looking for participants, if you so will. You can run or walk. It's in Calgary after dark. You'll be provided with a little headlamp if you sign up under his team. It's to sort of disable the seeing folk after dark for a walk or a run along the pathways in Calgary. With the church's permission, I'm going to post a letter through Grant on our website for Ryan. He's looking for either participants on his team called the Cochrane Winkers. he's looking for participants on his team or financial support, or if people don't have a means for financial support for his team, which you can sign, hit the link on the computer. He's looking for bottle donations too. So my sister is running around collecting anything the community in Cochrane can provide. And if anybody has recyclables and you give me a heads up or a call, I can see that I pick them up from you and they'll get to Lisa or Ryan. So look on our website, or I will post the hard copy letter kind of that Ryan has wrote to family and friends on our bulletin board as well for those who aren't technically inclined and won't hit the website. So that's a little update on him. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Michelle. Are there any other announcements? Back to you.
Thank you, Sean.
I think Michelle said you could either run or walk. Now, I'm not sure whether Dan can run, but I think he can walk. So we'll end at Dan. One of the Dans. There's another one down there. He can ride his bike. So we're going to celebrate August birthdays today. So if you had a birthday in August or prior to August and we missed you, now is your opportunity, as we are going to do that right now. August birthdays. A big happy birthday to Joyce. We really should get out here to do something, shouldn't we, as it's her birthday? No? Okay. Joyce declines. She appreciates the offer, but declines. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Psalm 96, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." We're going to have our approach choruses, and we're going to have Chelsea and Sharon, who are the leaders of our Sunday school from now on. And because the Sunday school starts today we're going to work them harder than ever. We're going to give them so much work to do. You'll see them cropping up. Come on, lead us in our choruses. Thank you.
Yeah.
the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Don't want to be a goat, no. Don't want to be a goat, no. They haven't got any hope, no. Don't want to be a goat, no. I just want to be a sheep. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Don't want to be a hypocrite. They're not hip to it. Don't want to be a hypocrite. I just want to be a sheep. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
get the impression that the Sunday school is going to be pretty exciting. Bah, 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 bah. Thank you to Chelsea and Sharon and the Sunday school for leading us in our approach courses. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you that you have given to each of us this joy and this great privilege of being able to come together in this your house on this your day. And we pray, gracious Father, right at the onset of our worship service today, that you will just speak to each and every one of us, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that we may hear the message, Lord, that you have for each and every one of us as we sing our hymns, as we pray our prayers, as we read the scriptures, as we meditate on your word. Bless us, Father, for we are here in the name of Jesus. And we pray, gracious Father, that as we come to you this day, we come to lift high the name of Jesus, to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every name. And we pray, Holy Father, that you will indeed accept the praise we bring. Bless us as we worship, Father. We worship in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The responsive reading this morning comes from Proverbs 22, verses 1 to 6. This also serves as our Old Testament reading as well. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
Presenting our special music this morning, it's a great pleasure for us to have Cam Reid come on up here. So I think Cam's going to do his own introduction to the piece that he will sing for us, and we welcome you now, Cam. Thank you.
I think what we should do is just get the Sunday school kids back up and sing. I think it'd be a lot better. When I was sitting down there, I was talking back and forth with Yetta, and she said, "So are you nervous?" I said, "So I, absolutely not." And sorry, Yetta, I lied about that. My belly's full of bugs. I was trying to figure out what I was going to sing, and I always seem to leave it to the last minute. I was going to sing a song, but it just didn't fit. And I never really knew what this song meant that I was going to sing. It's called That's My Job. You know, as a young kid, I really liked this song. But when I, now that I'm a dad, I truly understand what it means. And, you know, it's a father's love for his kids, and he'll do anything for his kids. And that's the same as what God's love is for us. He will do anything for us. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoy this song. We might have to restart it. Can you restart it? Sorry, guys. I woke up crying late at night when I was very young. I had dreamed my father had passed away and gone. My world revolved around him. I couldn't lie there anymore, so I made my way down the narrowed hall and tapped upon his door. And I said, "Daddy, I'm so afraid. How will I go on with you gone that way? Don't wanna cry anymore. So may I stay with you?" He says, "That's my job. Make it out there if I
That's my job, you see.
Good job, Cam. Thank you so much. And what a great message. How true it is, isn't it? Our kids grow older and it doesn't matter what they do, we still keep on loving them. Nobody else might love them, but we sure do. We keep on loving them. And that's the way it is with God. He just loves us and loves us and loves us, and he never gives up on us. Thank you, Cam. Great message, great song. Thank you. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. If the children would like to come and join me, please. Squishing them all in, right? Everybody here, good to see you all. Who's ever been to a restaurant for a meal or a cafe or something like that? Yeah? Yeah? So you're in a restaurant, you're in there with your family,
and the waitress comes forward and she wants to know what people want for the meal, who does she normally ask? Does she ask you or does she ask your mum? That's right, doesn't she? She goes to your mum, doesn't she, to ask what you want. Well, this family were in a restaurant and the waitress came forward and she went straight to the boy, to the son, and she said to him, "Well, what's it going to be?" And he looked at her and he says, "I'd like a hamburger and fries and a milkshake." And his mum says, "He doesn't really want that at all. What he really wants is roast beef, mashed potato and a glass of milk." And she turned to the boy and she ignored mum and she said to the boy, "What would you like on your hamburger?" And he said, "What would you like on your hamburger?" "Mustard." He wanted ketchup. Lots and lots of ketchup. "And what do you want on yours?" "Something." "He wanted ketchup." And she says, "Oh, that's great." And she says, "What kind of a milkshake would you like? What kind of milkshake would you like?" "Chocolate." That's exactly what he asked for. Chocolate. He wanted a chocolate one. And he was beaming. And he turned round to his mum and his dad and he says, "Isn't she cool? She thinks I'm real." "Isn't she cool? She thinks I'm real." Why did he say that? Why did he think that, that he was real? Why?
Because normally the waitress asks his parents.
That's right. And she talked to him. And when he answered, she listened to his answer. She listened. And when we talk to people, sometimes we don't hear what they're saying because we're not listening. But when we listen to people, it's like we're thinking they're real. This is a real person. You know, we're listening and we think they are real. "Isn't she cool? She thinks I'm real." The more we listen to people, the more real they become. Okay? Now, Jesus, we're going to have in our worship the scriptures later on. Jesus once helped a deaf man to hear. He was deaf and he couldn't hear anything. And Jesus restored his hearing. Now then, most of us here are not deaf. Most of us can hear most things. But we don't always hear people. Why do we not always hear what people say?
Because
we don't
listen.
That's right. Because we don't listen. Listening to God, when God speaks to you and he speaks to all of us, when we listen to God, God becomes real to us. So if you want God to be real in your life, you listen when God speaks. All right, so let's say a little prayer together, shall we? Lord God, we thank you that we are your children. And because we are your children, you love us, you care for us. It's your job to look after us. And you speak to us, Lord. Help us always to listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are we singing today?
Or?
We who are left will stand and sing to the glory of God a little hymn from the little red chorus book, number 252, and it is "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." We stand and sing to his glory.
The presence of the Lord, the Holy One.
Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. We come to our time of prayer, and I'm sure that the significance of today's date has not escaped any of you, the date being 9/11, 11 years since since that disaster that we call 9/11, when those two planes flew into the towers. And I think on this day it sits on all of our hearts and minds of the people who still suffer because of that tragedy. And I'm sure that these people, we may not know them by name, but God knows who they are. And I'm sure that these people will sit in your heart and have a little place in your prayers today. Keep Pearl Blaine in your prayers. Pearl is in Sundry Hospital. She had a heart attack, and she is quite weak. She is. She'll tell you. She'll say, "Oh, I'm all right. I don't have any pain." You know what Pearl's like, but she is weak. And your prayers will be appreciated for her, and your visits, if you get the chance, a brief visit would be also appreciated. And while you're there, two doors down, you will find Charlene Van Arnhem. Charlene is recovering from surgery to her spine, and she might not know who you are, but she'll be delighted to see you. If you pop in and tell her who you are and where you're from, she will be thrilled to have your visit if you get the opportunity. And I'm sure you've got lots of other people sitting on your heart that you are praying for at this time. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you again for this privilege of worship and for this time of prayer. We are in awe, Lord, that you who created us, you who created all things, that you listen to your children praying. Help us, Lord, as we seek to prepare ourselves to spread your word and your goodness everywhere we go. Flood our souls this day with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly, Lord, that our lives may be a radiance of your love in the world. As we sing, "Shine, Jesus, shine," we pray, Lord, that every soul that we come into contact with may feel and be touched by your grace. And Father, we pray this prayer especially for those here in our church family and others of your leading who work in the school systems in any capacity. Lord, may the hearts and souls of children in our schools be touched by your love, as your many servants who work in the school system become your channels of blessing. Lord, bless the children, and bless and equip their teachers. And we pray also, Lord, for our Sunday school students and for our Sunday school staff, as they begin another season of learning. We ask you, Lord, to richly bless them. We pray that you will grant all of them your peace and the grace of your presence. And we pray, Father, that all of us, that we may continue to grow in your grace as we continue to seek your guidance and your inspiration in our lives. We thank you again, Lord, for our church family and for the way that you touch and enrich our lives through the joy of your spirit that we experience in this place. We thank you, Lord. And we look around us and we pray for the people who sit close by us. We pray, Lord, that you will touch their lives, especially this morning. That you will lift their cares, the cares of their hearts. That you will heal any hurting that may be in their lives. And we pray, Father, that you will grant to them your blessed peace. In the silence of our hearts, Lord, and here in the beauty of holiness, we bring before you now those whom you have placed upon our hearts to care for, to worry about, and to pray for. We pray for them now, Lord, in silence. We pray, gracious Father, for peace in our world. And on this day, Lord, that we call 9/11, we have very much in our hearts all of those people who still suffer because of the events of that tragic day 11 years ago. We pray, Holy Father, that these people, as we pray for peace in the world, that these people may know of your wonderful peace in their hearts. We give you thanks, Father, for the things that have already happened to bring a measure of peace to the many troubled areas of the world. And so we pray that your spirit of peace may descend upon those, Lord, all who work in the peace process, wherever that may take place. Gracious Father, as we prepare ourselves for another week of service, we are conscious of our need of your power and your inspiration in our day-to-day activities. Lord, grant us, we pray, strength sufficient to meet our own needs in the week ahead. And we pray, Father, that maybe you can give us just that little bit of extra to help those whom we meet on the way. Lord God, we ask you to hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The gospel reading this morning is from Mark 7, 24 to 37. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence a secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down through the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He's done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Epistle is from James 2, 14 to 24. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and is credited to him as righteousness, and is credited to him by his righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone.
Our thanks to Scott for those readings from the scriptures today. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory the hymn 385, Near the Cross. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The title of my message today seems to be strange. There's a bomb on the bus, and I hope to make this clear as to what I'm getting at in a very short while. Bear with me. Generations of preachers at Princeton Seminary, that's where they send all the preachers to learn their art, They were taught the skills of sermon construction by a certain Dr. Donald MacLeod. And among the many points that Dr. MacLeod taught was the importance of choosing a compelling sermon title. In fact, he asked his students to give their sermon title before they preached their sermons within the context of their learning area. And so to emphasize this point, he used to tell a story of a lady called Mrs. O'Leary who would hop on the bus on Sunday morning, the bus which passed all of the great churches on its route, and as the bus approached each church, she would read the sign in front of the church and see what the sermon title was. And she decided on the basis of what she read whether to get off the bus and attend the church. Dr. MacLeod would constantly remind his students, pick a title that will make Mrs. O'Leary get off the bus. And of course, with that instruction firmly implanted in their minds, one of Dr. MacLeod's preachers mounted the pulpit and announced his sermon title as, "There's a Bomb on the Bus." The secondary title to my sermon today is Gentle Persuasion. Gentle Persuasion. A scientist once conducted a very interesting experiment in his laboratory. From the ceiling, he suspended a huge iron ball, which weighed a ton. And it was suspended by a cable and from a ceiling which could hold it. And beside that huge iron ball, he hung a small cork ball, also suspended from the ceiling, but by a thread. And an electrical mechanism kept that small cork ball swinging backwards and forwards and hitting the sides of that big one-ton iron ball. He wanted to find out if that small sphere of cork could have any effect on that great big huge heavy iron weight and thus cause some kind of movement in it. Now, we frequently heard the expression, and probably used it, about the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. Well, in this experiment that this scientist conducted, the iron ball could well be described as the immovable object, but we could hardly describe that little cork ball as an irresistible force. Hardly. Well, at length, after many days of unceasing swinging backwards and forwards on the part of that small cork ball, you know what happened, don't you? Eventually, that one-ton iron ball began to swing. At first, very gently to and fro and in harmony with that little cork ball. And gradually, its motion increased until it was swinging in a wide arc. All because a tiny and a comparatively insignificant little cork ball had kept on knocking against its massive sides. A simple example of what can be achieved with the art of gentle but persistent persuasion. Now, when I came across this illustration, it reminded me very much of what St. Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9. And this is where Paul says, "Don't give up. Keep trying to do good. And in time, you will reap a harvest." In time, you will reap a harvest. Now, in our gospel reading today, the first part of the reading seems to show the Lord Jesus acting in a way which was contrary to his usual kindly nature. A woman approaches him. She begs for help. She begs him to force the demon out of her daughter. And he seems to refuse her. He tells her he has more important things to do. And then he calls her a dog. You kind of go, wow, this is Jesus. What's going on here? Where is the care? Where is the compassion? Why does he treat this pleading woman in such a way? Well, I think first of all, we've got to get this story into context. Jesus was tired. This is the human side of Jesus. He was tired. Do you ever get tired? Sure you do. Yesterday afternoon when Iris and I had finished all of our comings and goings, we said, what should we do now? And Iris says, let's have an hour's nap. Jesus was tired. And so he needed to rest. So to try to escape from the constant attention that he was now getting from all of these huge crowds of people, he went to a place where he knew that these crowds of people would not follow him. Now at this point we need to remember that Jesus' first mission was to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish people. It was to the Jews that he preached and taught. It was the Jews who witnessed his miracles and his acts of healing. And so he now went to where he knew that the Jews would not go. He went into what the Jews regarded as enemy territory, to Gentile territory, and he went to Tyre and Sidon. So here's Tyre and Sidon, and here's where Jesus normally witnessed. So this is where he was. Enemy territory, Tyre and Sidon, which is now known as Lebanon. He went to Lebanon, and the Jews hated the people of Lebanon, or this Tyre and Sidon, and the people of Tyre and Sidon hated the Jews. The Jews regarded these people as pagans. They regarded them as unclean people. They regarded them as common street dogs. So this is where Jesus escaped to. And the scripture tells us, he did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence a secret. Isn't there something about the glorious presence of God? It just shines out, and his glory reaches out, and it touches people, and it draws people into him. And so Jesus was approached by this woman who was an enemy of his people. He was approached by a woman who would never normally approach a stranger, especially not a man. And she begged Jesus to release her daughter from the grip of this evil spirit, from a demon. Now let's remember again, Jesus' mission was first to the Jewish nation. And this was because the Jewish nation were the only people who had any knowledge at all of the one true God. And this woman begged for a miracle. A Gentile woman in Gentile country. But it was not yet time for Jesus' ministry to extend beyond the Jews. In time, yes, but not yet. It was the wrong time. It was not yet her time. Now listen to what Jesus said to her. The children must first be fed. The children must first be fed. The Jews must first be fed the bread of life. It isn't the right time yet to give the bread of life to the dogs. Now even that is not as harsh as it sounds. The Greek word that is used for dogs in this context usually translate as puppies or a pet puppy as opposed to the common street dog. So these are the pet puppies that would live in the home, that would be under the table picking up the crumbs. Now then, I wonder who Jesus was really speaking to here. He spoke in answer to this woman's request, but was he really speaking to the woman? Was he speaking to his disciples? Was he speaking out over the ages to all who pick up this holy book and read these words? Is Jesus teaching us something? I believe that when Jesus spoke these words, I believe he did so with a smile on his face, and I believe he did so with a twinkle in his eye. I think that Jesus had perceived that this woman was not only a person of great faith, but that she was also very wise and very perceptive. He tested her. He even teased her a little. And just as I believe he anticipated that she would, she came right back at him and she said, "Lord, even the pet puppies get to eat the crumbs that the children drop from the table." And she's saying, "I seek only a crumb. I seek only a crumb." And Jesus was so impressed by her faith and by her wisdom and by her understanding that he responded, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. The little cork ball has moved the immovable object." Doesn't matter if it's not your time. If you have faith, if you have persistence, have you tried and failed or seemed to fail? Have you thought that maybe it's just not to be? Try again. Persist. Believe. A little black boy was watching the balloon man at the country fair. And the balloon man was evidently a good salesman, because he allowed a red balloon to go loose and it went up and it soared into the sky. And then he released a blue one and then an orange one and then a white one. And they all soared way up into the sky and out through the clouds, a great sight. A big crowd had been attracted. And a little black boy stood for quite a while with his eyes fixed on a black balloon. "Mister," he said, "if you let the black one go, would it go as high as the others?" And the balloon man gave the lad an understanding smile. And then he snapped the string which was holding onto the black one. And as it soared upwards, he said, "It isn't the colour, son. It's what's inside it that makes it rise. It isn't the colour, son. It's what's inside it that makes it rise." And Jesus came to say, it's not the colour and it's not the race and it's not the nationality and it's not the ailment and it's not the family. All that matters is what's inside. Faith and the Spirit of God inside. And then in the second part of that gospel reading of Mark 7, Jesus has moved on from that area. And he's gone to the place called Decapolis. Jesus, this man comes to Jesus. He's in Gentile territory still. And this man is brought to Jesus and he's deaf. Now Jesus is still trying to gather some rest and relaxation time here. And he tells this man and he tells the people who brought him after he's healed him, "Go away and don't tell anyone." He's still looking for some peace and quiet. "Don't tell anyone." But the man went away and his friends went away and they obviously told everyone. Not like the elderly gentleman who went to see the doctor about his hearing loss. And the doctor prescribed for this man a very tiny little hearing aid. So small, you couldn't see it. Right down inside the ear. And it cured the man's deafness. And some weeks later, the man came back to see the doctor and the doctor asked him, "How impressed are your family with your restored hearing?" And he says, "I didn't tell them." He says, "I just sit there and listen. And so far, I've changed my will 3 times. Jesus is now in the area called Decapolis. Decapolis, and it's this area all around here. And Decapolis means the area of the 10 cities. Gentile country. And we can assume that the deaf man and those who brought this man were also Gentiles. We can assume this because this is another of those areas where the Jews did not go. So what's Jesus doing there? He's looking for rest and relaxation, but I think there's other reasons that Jesus does what he does. And so Gentiles brought a Gentile to Jesus in Gentile territory. And Jesus is now well known, and he's popular even in enemy territory. The man was deaf, and the probability is that he could barely speak. But his friends, Gentiles, dropped their inbuilt inhibitions and their animosity towards the Jews, and they did what was right for this poor man. A study of new church members has revealed that the vast majority of them, new church members, came to a church because someone invited them to come. A personal invitation to come to our church. The deaf man who could barely speak and couldn't hear was brought to Christ by his friends, and Christ did the rest. Now we don't know why he didn't come to Christ on his own. We can speculate. But there are so many people around us all the time who, when asked why they do not attend church, will probably say, because no one ever asked me to. All of these people in your circle of friends, your relatives, your neighbours, your colleagues at work, who all probably know that you faithfully attend church and they know what you stand for, well, they may just be wondering why you have never asked them to come. These are the people who are deaf. They are deaf to the word of the Lord. They need someone to bring them to Christ. And when they do that, when you do that, Christ does the rest. Christ cures their deafness. He opens their ears. He speaks to them. Your friends aren't shy to invite you to join them in whatever they do, are they? So go on. Ask them. Invite them. The creator of the world, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, is waiting to help, to cure the deafness of all who will come to him. He wants them to come. He wants them to come. He cured the deaf man by opening his ears. He will open the ears of anyone who comes to him, to the word of God. A small cork ball moved, a one-ton iron ball. Did it eventually, with very gentle but persistent persuasion. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now we sing our closing hymns. First of all, from the Red Book again, 244, There Is a Redeemer. I should say, there is a Redeemer. 112 to be God's people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.